Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Split Decision Podcast. I am your host, Roman Garcia, with my co-host and my very good friend, PJ Katona. PJ, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good on this Monday morning. Had a nice little weekend here in Bloomington, as always. It's always fun down here at Indiana University.
Can't beat it.
Yeah, how about you?
Can't complain. Had a pretty solid weekend, pretty standard IU weekend, you know, a tailgate, IU football loss, you know.
Nothing new.
Go home, do nothing. A lot of not really going on this weekend, but there were some fights that took place, and much like the weekend, they were kind of standard, I would say. Just your standard UFC boxing matches. PJ, you want to get us started on what happened at the top of the card at UFC Vegas 63?
Yeah, so we had Mrs. Marina Rodriguez versus Mrs. Lemos, Amanda Lemos, and I can't lie, I thought Marina was gonna get the victory here, but Lemos just hits like a truck. Mm-hmm. Third round knockout victory. She definitely impressed me. Caught me off guard a little bit. She's definitely the real deal. Say the least. Yeah, she's number seven. Now she'll, you know, arguably could wait now for the winner of Esparza and Weili this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if Thug Rose ever wants to fight ever again, maybe that can happen.
Who knows? Yeah, Thug Rose kind of throws a fork in this whole thing because what? Jonan Yan, she's coming off a win. Didn't she call out Rose? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Pretty sure everybody's trying to, at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest fights in the division, I would say, besides fighting for the title. But, she did look good in this fight, I would say. But you kind of had a – you felt like the stoppage might have came a little bit early, right?
Yeah, I mean, Marina was still on her feet, and, I mean, she was still – I mean, she was wobbled for sure. From a fighter's safety purpose, it was maybe a good stoppage, but I kind of like to see, you know, the fighter get at least knocked down before we're going to call it, before we're going to call the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I 100% disagree, but I think maybe, I mean, I feel like it was going to be finished either way, so I guess referee saved Marina Rodriguez from taking a couple extra blows that she didn't need to take.
Yeah, I would say Marina Rodriguez definitely, you could tell by her eyes, she literally did not know what was going on.
Yeah.
She was still standing, still had her hands out.
Yeah.
But I think Amanda Lemos, you don't need to take two or three more hits
from
her.
It was probably the right call.
But, you know, it wouldn't have been bad to see her hit the deck. Would have been good for the camera, certainly.
From a fan's perspective, you always like to see someone hit the deck. But
Herb got her out of there early. Yeah. Good on you, Herb. You usually don't do that too often. But, yeah, Amanda Lemos takes the victory in the main event. And we also had a pretty exciting co-main event with Neil Magny defeating Daniel Rodriguez by a round three darts choke. Mixed feelings on this one. I had Neil Magny over 57.5 significant strikes, and he got 49. So lost $7 on that one.
You said you had over 57.5 significant?
Yeah.
On ESPN, it says he literally has 57.
Wow.
I wish I was kidding. You can't make that up.
Well, either way, I needed you to get 58, and you got exactly 57, so.
Wow. Yeah. I'm happy Neil Magny got the win, though. I had him. I was rooting for him.
Well, I was rooting for him, too, but I was hoping the fight would have been on the feet for the entire three rounds.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good, four minutes of ground control, looks like. So, in a three-round fight, it's tough, you know.
It is tough. I thought I called it on that one. You know, the second leg of my parlay would have hit because I had Marina Rodriguez underneath 115, and she fell way below that.
That's for sure.
Happens. D-Rod never fails to disappoint.
D-Rod, go back up to middle. He should just go back up to middle, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, what are you doing, dude? You do not have the gas tank to hold up at 170. But
big win for Neil Magny, though. I have no idea what's next for him, if I'm being honest.
I think he called out Gilbert Burns after the fight. Right. He's probably not going to get that one.
From a realistic standpoint, I don't think that's next.
Hey, you can't fault him for throwing his name
in
the hat.
I agree. I mean, like we mentioned last episode, you know, like Arnold Allen, a little shy in the mic. I'd rather someone say a big name that we know probably won't happen than not say anything at all. So I definitely respect it.
And, you know, like, fair enough. Because he called him out for the Brazil card, which is in January.
Yeah,
so.
that's fair.
And Gilbert Burns needs an opponent. Like, he's been waiting for Masvidal for what?
I don't know. I hope he just fights Masvidal so I can just watch Masvidal get.
I hope so, dude. George, where you at, George?
George.
I don't know. Who knows? But
the rest of this card, I mean, we, you know, like we always say, sometimes it's the cards without the big names that I'm at deliver. And I mean, we had, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
mm-hmm.
9 finishes out of, what is it, 12 fights?
Yeah.
11 fights.
Yeah.
Very, I mean, yeah, that's actually crazy to think about it.
I think Dominic Cruz and I think it, who else was on the call, Bisping or Felder? Whoever was on the call, they were talking about it, and they were like, I think it, they think it has to do with the smaller octagon.
It definitely does.
That, you know, fighters, you know, you have like less space to move around. So it's really
100%, yeah.
You just got to move forward and just kind of swing and bang.
Yeah.
And we certainly saw that this past Saturday at UFC Vegas 63, a card that, you know, surprised a lot of people how exciting it turned out to be. So good on the UFC. But that was not the only action taking place this weekend. We also had the return of one Dimitri Bivol coming off his victory over Saul Canelo Alvarez. He faced off against another countryman of Canelo Alvarez, Zurdo Ramirez, defeating him by 12-round unanimous decision. I believe the scores went something along the lines of 118, 110, 117, 111, 117, 111. I could be wrong on that, but either way, it was quite the dominant display from Dimitri Bivol, who retains his WBA light heavyweight title. And that kind of opens up the door for him to go in two different ways. He could either fight Beterbiev for the undisputed titles because he holds the other three belts at the 175-pound division, or he could take on Canelo Alvarez because there is a rematch clause in that contract. PJ, is that a rematch you want to see? You want to see Canelo take on Bivol again?
Honestly, yeah, I would like to. I think I'd like to see it. I mean, I know, I don't know if Canelo fans would like to see it, but for me, who I'm not a massive Canelo fan, I would be interested to watch it again. I mean, never really seen like Canelo, you know, as a big underdog, but I would assume if this fight gets remade, I feel like Canelo would have to be the underdog in the fight, and I think that would make it pretty interesting. I can already tell by your facial expression you don't want to see the fight happen again. But
I mean,
that's because you're a fan. I'm not.
It's not that I don't believe in Canelo Alvarez. I really believe in the skills of Dimitri Bivol. Plus, he's just so much bigger.
No, he is,
and it's just man. He really just knows how to shut down all your offense. Like I feel like I was watching the same fight essentially this weekend as I was when he fought Canelo Alvarez. It's just Zurdo started off pretty hot, you know, tried to land some big shots, tried to get some combinations going, but Dimitri Bivol with his length, his footwork, his defense just finds a way to shut you down.
Yeah, he's tough, man.
And then he just leaves you helpless basically. And for 12 rounds, you're really just trying to figure out this seemingly unsolvable puzzle. And I think a more interesting fight would be Beterbiev, but if Canelo gets in there with him again, I would not be disappointed. Big payday for both those guys. And I have Dimitri Bivol probably winning the Fighter of the Year with these two victories he's had.
Yeah, I mean, the year he's had, I don't think there's anybody else you can really...
Not anyone who stands off the page, certainly. But, yeah, that was a big boxing match that went down this weekend. Dimitri Bivol impresses once again. Moving on from that, PJ, do we have any fight announcements in the MMA world? Is anything
there was like, and all, there's actually like nothing like this whole week of like, I mean, yeah, usually, you know, I'm always scrolling through like social media and Twitter and I find some matchups. Like there's literally like there was like nothing announced really. Kind
of. I saw, oh yeah, this happened a couple days ago and I think it went really underneath the radar. It got added to UFC 283. It was Thiago Moises versus Garam Kutaladze, you know, the guy who he fought against. He trains with Kamzat.
Yeah, I know who that. Yeah, I know who that is. I didn't see that though.
Yeah, the Georgian Viking. Yeah, that really went underneath the radar.
Yeah, I mean, there's this one guy I usually, you know, I follow, and he's always got the matchups, and like, there's just really nothing big announced. Unfortunately.
Well, I feel like towards the end of the year they announced a lot of the fights going into the first quarter, so maybe there's just a bunch of matchmaking that has to get done. I feel like the beginning of the year for the UFC is always a little bit slower, and it always just picks up as the year goes on. But yeah, with there being no...
Brad Tavares is fighting RoboCop, Gregory Rodriguez.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When's that taking place?
At 283 in Brazil.
I like me some RoboCop.
I do like RoboCop.
That guy's tough, man.
I like Brad Tavares, too, though, not going to lie. But I hope, yeah, RoboCop. Yeah. That one got announced. But yeah, nothing else, really, worth noting.
It'll be exciting to see if RoboCop gets his head split open again, because
that was pretty sick, though.
But something I'm really excited about, Caleb Plant announced on social media that he and David Benavidez have come to an agreement on a fight in the first quarter of 2023. Now, on Twitter, I got into a little bit of an argument with someone who was saying, like, why should we celebrate two top fighters for taking each other on? Like, do we celebrate? She said something like, do we celebrate fish for swimming? I kind of got the analogy, but I was like, okay. But the point is not that there's two fighters. It's the point is these fights don't happen often, especially with fighters this young in their career. And I want to give applause to both these men for getting this fight done and setting an example of what boxing can be. Boxing can be a sport just like the UFC, where the two best of the best in their division, two top prospects, can fight each other. One can lose, like in Caleb Plant, he lost his last fight. And in boxing, it's so like there's like this stigma around losing your you're irrelevant. Caleb Plant is a perfect example of someone who's lost a fight but can still remain relevant. Can still remain a top contender, and I'm really excited to see this fight take place at 168 pounds. I can go on about this all day about how boxing just irritates me.
Benavidez is really young, right? Isn't he like only 25? Yeah, okay.
25, yeah. Volume puncher. Caleb Plant, 30s, just turned 30, I believe. Stick and move type of guy. You know, it'll be a really interesting fight to see. And I would say, I think Canelo Alvarez should wait until this fight takes place, unless he's kind of trying to duck them. I wouldn't be surprised, Canelo. I mean, these are two young guys, and you're getting up there. But I think it would be a better fight if he waited for these two guys to take place, and he takes on the victory and defends his 168-pound titles against them. But we shall see. We got a few months to go before that takes place. But once again, applause to Caleb Plant, David Benavidez.
Yeah. Big fight.
But besides that, PJ, we have some big fights coming up this weekend, don't we?
Yes, it is fight week. Love saying that. UFC 281. UFC 281.
Can you get a grip, man?
I can't get a grip. in Madison Square Garden, Adesanya versus Pereira, obviously a very highly anticipated fight. But not only is that a big fight, we have a lot of good matchups. Mm-hmm,
certainly.
On the undercard, I mean, we have ourselves Molly McCann. She's obviously fighting. She's actually a massive underdog in her fight versus Aaron Blankfield. Dominic Reyes is making his return to the octagon versus Ryan Spann. And Brad Riddell fights Renato Moicano, which I am actually very excited to watch that fight.
Yeah, that might be my favorite fight on the prelims.
Yeah. There's some solid matchups there. And then, we get into the main card here. We have Dan Hooker versus Claudio Pulez. Hope I said that right. Mm. Frankie Edgar's officially retiring after this fight, win or loss. Last fight against Chris Gutierrez. And then a massive, massive fight at the lightweight division. Michael Chandler versus Dustin Poirier. Mm-hmm. And then the other title fight on this card, Carla Esparza versus Zhang Weili. Just a pretty well-rounded card, I would have to say.
Certainly. And I guess we'll hop right into our predictions. PJ, anywhere you want to start with? Any prelims who you're willing to predict? Because honestly, a lot of these prelims can go either way, I would say. And I don't feel too confident in picking one person specifically.
I do like Moicano over Brad Riddell in the prelims.
I would really lean towards Renato as well.
And I see Dominic Reyes is like
he's in minus 225.
He's a favorite here, but I I have a feeling Father Time is undefeated. Saying,
he's 0-3 in his last three, so.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to make an official prediction, but I kind of like Ryan Spann, not going to lie.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. That I wouldn't mind taking that as a pick. That's certainly a worthy bet, I would say.
Yeah, it's going up there. Molly McCann is a massive underdog, too, which, I mean, I think the whole world's going to be rooting for Meatball Molly.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
I'm making a prediction that she'll win, but.
I didn't realize how old she was.
Yeah,
and that kind of caught me off guard. Yeah. 32.
Yeah, you would think she's young, like
32, taking on a 23-year-old Erin Cold-Blooded Blanchfield. Yeah. Erin Blanchfield -390 according to Tapology. So yeah, Molly McCann's probably the underdog for the first time in a while, but it'll be interesting to see if she can land that that spinning elbow of hers. That's proved to be decisive in her last few fights.
Yeah, first ranked fight for her as well, because Blankfield, I believe, is number 12, and McCann just entered the flyweight rankings at 15.
But we shall see.
Just get into the main card predictions here.
All right, brother.
The ones I actually feel confident about.
All right, you want to go ahead and get us started off with Dan Hooker versus Claudio? Give us your prediction on that one.
Unfortunately, Dan Hooker is actually the favorite in this fight, which I was surprised by. But, yeah, I'm going to be rooting for Dan Hooker. It's for sure. I hope I get my pick wrong. So, with that being said, I'm actually going to go with, I think, Claudio Pulez is going to get a submission victory here over Dan Hooker. I'm going to go in round number two. I'm thinking round two. Round two submission, Claudio Pulez, unfortunately. Although I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see Dan Hooker get a knockout.
What is this? This is his return to lightweight, correct?
Yeah. He's back at lightweight again.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how his body kind of deals with going fluctuating weight classes. But I will also go with a similar pick. I will go with the Prince of Peru, Claudio Pulez. I don't know how you pronounce that last name.
Yeah, I feel like I might be saying it wrong, but.
No, they'll prove us wrong on Saturday, I'm sure. But, I'm going to go with Claudio. Also by submission, and you took the second round, and I don't want to sound like I'm copying you, but I will go second round submission as well. Wouldn't be surprised if it goes the distance. Wouldn't be surprised if Dan Hooker somehow pulls something.
I hope
out the
he
bag,
does.
You know?
I really hope he does.
But I don't know. I just think he's taken so much damage in his last few fights.
His last two fights at lightweight have both been first round finishes. I mean, his last three losses have been first round finishes. He had the unanimous decision versus Nasrat Haqparast in between the Makhachev and Chandler fight. But if you look at his four losses though in his last couple fights, none of them are bad losses. I mean, losing to Poirier, Chandler, Makhachev, or Arnold Allen, those are four top fighters at their weight classes.
Fair enough.
You can't count out Dan Hooker, but
I wouldn't be surprised if I see Claudio backpack him. So see a rear naked choke.
Claudio is very, I feel like a lot of people don't even know who he is, but I think he's one of the up-and-coming prospects at the lightweight division. I like him a lot. I think he's very, very good.
Certainly. Maybe this will be his big statement win.
And
maybe after this, we'll see Dan Hooker in the PFL. But we shall
see. I hope
not,
but yeah.
That is to be determined. But now we will move up to the next fight in the card, something I feel a little bit more confident making a prediction on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you do as well, PJ. Frankie Edvard versus Chris Gutierrez. What are your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, it's obviously Frankie's last fight. And, I'm not sure we can say, I can't think of any instances maybe I think of like George St. Pierre winning his last fight. But, usually these good Hall of Fame worthy fighters, they end up taking losses to end their career. That's just how the fight game works, Like I keep saying, Father Time is undefeated in the fight world. I love Frankie Edgar. He's 41 years of age, which is crazy that he's still fighting. I respect it, and I'm very happy that this is his last fight. I'm going to have to go with Chris Gutierrez in this one, who is the favorite. Chris Gutierrez has won 6 of his last 7, and the only one he didn't win was a draw. So, he hasn't lost in three years-ish. Mm-hmm. He's also 31 years old, 10 years younger than Edgar. And I don't want to say he's going to get knocked out, but
I will say he's going to get knocked out. I'm not afraid to say that.
What are you? What round are you thinking?
I hope it's early, dude. I don't want to see him get beat up for a few rounds. I mean, who's to say? I feel like it's his last fight. He's in his front of his home crowd. He's gonna give it his all, certainly. I mean, Frankie Edgar knows no other way.
I'm going Gutierrez by decision. I think Frankie holds it up. I'm going unanimous decision. Chris Gutierrez.
Man. Yeah, maybe. Unanimous decision, Chris Gutierrez. Maybe 2-1. Maybe Frankie Edgar steals a round, gets the crowd going a little bit.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if he gets chinned. I don't know. When I was about to say get knocked out and it didn't feel right. I feel better saying unanimous decision.
I don't know. I'll go Chris Gutierrez by knockout. Fair. Second round.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair enough.
Second round, maybe first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Frankie Edgar.
I'm going unanimous decision, but my second selection would be first round knockout in about a minute.
Yeah. But, you know, I was looking over at the resume of Frankie Edgar, and some of the names on here are just insane.
Yeah.
BJ Penn twice, Benson Henderson twice, Jose Aldo, Charles Oliveira, BJ Penn again, Cub Swanson, Faber, Mendez, Aldo, Stevens, Rodriguez, Ortega, Swanson, Holloway, Cheng Sun Jun, Munoz, Sanhagen, Chito Vera.
Jeez, I don't know when's the last time he fought.
I mean, honestly, that that record of his, what is he currently?
23-10.
24-10. Oh, here it says 24. I don't know if it's 23.
It says 23 on here, but it's whatever.
Either way, that record, you know, it's not the best record I've ever seen, but when you look at the names, go deeper.
I mean, you can't fall. I mean, all these guys are
title challengers.
Yeah, every one of them has been a title challenger in terms of all of his losses. Have been title challengers, actually, except for Chito Vera, but he's very, very close. Yeah. Once, assuming Chito Vera gets a title shot, he'll actually have 10 losses to everybody who's at least fought for a title once in their career, which is impressive.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Gutierrez might be his first non-title challenging opponent, but yeah.
Frankie Edgar, a champion in his own right, though, held titles at 155 and 145.
It's crazy he used to fight at 155. He's only like 5'6".
I know.
He's fighting at 135. Which makes sense. That makes more sense. But yeah, it's crazy that he actually used to fight at that weight.
But this Saturday, the time runs out on Frankie Edgar's career. You had a great run, my man. And, you know, hopefully you don't leave on a stretcher.
I pray to God not.
But moving up to probably my favorite fight on the card, I would say.
What do they call it? The fans' main event?
The fans' main event.
The people's main event.
People's main event. Dustin the Diamond Poirier taking on Iron Michael Chandler. This is something a lot of fans have had circled on their calendars for a while. A fight that people have been clamoring to see ever since Michael Chandler made his debut in the UFC.
And because what event was that they were jawing at each other, remember?
That was earlier this year.
Yeah, they were jawing. Poirier, I can't recall the card, but one of the UFC events, Poirier and Chandler got into it on the, what do you call it? You don't call it the sideline, like just call, you know, in the fan area, outside
fighters,
of the octagon,
the fighters area.
Yeah, they were really, really jawing at each other. So
yeah, someone had fight. To hold Dustin back.
This
Come
is
on,
a fight
Dustin.
That had to be made for sure, and I'm very excited.
Interesting matchup between two perennial top five lightweights. I think it I would have not been hesitant to say at all that I see Dustin Poirier winning this fight, being that it's a 3-round fight, that does come into the favor of Chandler, I would think, because much like kind of like a Peter Yan versus Sugar Sean similarity, where Peter Yan was used to fighting 5 rounds, kind of, and Michael Chandler's been more of a 3-round fight guy as of late. I think Michael Chandler might know how to pace himself a bit better. And these three, well, actually, Michael Chandler and Pace usually don't go hand in hand.
Yeah, but I know what you mean, though. I get what you're saying. He's more, I mean, obviously, I think Dustin is the better fighter. It's just Chandler, like, you know, he could pull off another, something like he did to Tony Ferguson, hopefully not. But he has one-punch power that can shut just about anyone's lights out in the division, which is obviously always a big threat. Yeah, what are you thinking for this fight?
I
know what I'm. I already.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Chandler, as you were saying, One punch power can put anybody's lights out, but he's just a little bit too wild for me at times. And he has a very good wrestling base, but he hardly uses it because, you know, he's a fighter's fighter. And he likes to put on a show. And I can imagine he's definitely going to want to put one on at Madison Square Garden against Dustin Poirier. I can't imagine him shooting unless he's in real serious danger. So I think it'll be a fight on the feet. And I think Dustin Poirier, with his slick boxing, I think he's really just going to – I think he's going to catch Chandler coming in one of these crazy exchanges. And I think he's going to get his hand raised. I'll take Dustin Poirier by knockout, second or third round, I would say. I don't know.
I'm going to go third round.
Third round?
I'm thinking third round. Dustin gets him. I think he's going to wear him, like you said. Over time, Chandler's going to – I mean, Chandler's going to, you know, first round, he's going to come out absolutely swinging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, he's going to come out swinging the whole fight. But, yeah, I think Chandler's going to – yeah. I think it might be – I think I could see it being very similar to Gaethje versus Chandler, not going to lie, in terms of just bombs being thrown. I think Poirier is definitely more composed and disciplined than Chandler and Gaethje, which is why I think Chandler – or why I think Poirier is going to get a late knockout. Just he's going to, you know.
Yeah, and I was talking to you about this weekend. I think Dustin Poirier tends to be a little bit more of a slow starter. You know, it kind of takes his time.
Yeah.
To work his way into the fight and then puts it up in the latter rounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Michael Chandler is really fast off the bat, as you've seen in pretty much all of his fights, Justin Gaethje, Dan Hooker.
Yeah, I think as long as Poirier avoids that big bomb in the first half of the fight, I think there's no reason he shouldn't win the fight.
Yeah, Michael Chandler will come out hucking, that's for sure. And I'm sure Dustin Poirier will oblige him, especially in a three-round fight. Can't afford to give up. Can't afford to give up a round in three round fights, honestly. So
every second of a fight matters in three rounds. That's for sure.
So did you make an official prediction?
Yeah, I'm gonna go Poirier round three, TKO.
And I will stick with. I think I'll stick. Third round sounds a little bit more realistic, but you know, maybe I'll stick with the second round. Who's to say?
UFC is not very realistic, so you know what? Anything can happen.
You never know. Who's to say on Monday we're not standing here, you know, Michael Chandler's knocked out Dustin Poirier in the first round. That would be embarrassing, but who's to say? Who knows? But with all that being wrapped up, we will move on. It's probably the
easiest pick I've ever had to make in my life, right here.
Why do you think it's the easiest pick?
Well, we're talking about Zhang Weili versus Carla Esparza, for those wondering, the strawweight title fight. Carla Esparza is coming off the rather controversial slash, I think from a fan's perspective, would say disappointing title victory over Thug Rose Nami Yunus. For those of you who don't know, I mean, Zhang Weili is actually a tank of a fighter. Like, she's a tank. We sent each other the video. Zhang Weili picking up Francis Ngannou, the current
casually
heavyweight champion, picked him up like it was nothing. He probably weighs close to
293, I think. He
300
said
literally almost weighs 300 pounds, and she Weili's gonna weigh in at 115 and she's easily picking up 300 pound men.
That's a scary woman, dude.
I mean, I'm just going to get it out of the way. I think Weili, first round knockout, I'm going to go with.
First round knockout, honestly, makes a lot of sense.
I don't really see how Esparza, I mean.
This fight's ending within the distance, ending before 2.5, ending by knockout.
Yeah, I'm just going to not waste any time and say Weili's going to. I'm going K, just KO Zhang Weili first round.
Yeah, I will go with probably the same thing. Usually it's pretty bold going with the first round knockout in the title fight, but I don't know. I just don't see how Carla Esparza could defend herself.
She might make it to round two.
Maybe. I mean, how is she going to keep her off of her? Like, I don't understand.
I don't know either. I mean, I think Weili tags her once. I think it's over.
You think Weili is scared of Carla Esparza's power? Like, no, she's not scared of her wrestling. She's not scared of anything she can do in the clinch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Weili's, she's...
I would say she checks almost every single box.
All right, let's be real. If she can knock out Joanna in the second round, she can knock out Esparza in the first round, no problem.
But who knows? We did not see what Carla Esparza was made out of in that fight against Rose. Why?
That's the thing. I don't see the dog. We've seen the dog in Zhang Weili. I haven't seen the dog in Esparza yet. Yes,
I've seen Weili go through the fire. Carla Esparza, she didn't give herself an opportunity.
Here's the thing about Carla Esparza. Obviously, she's a great fighter, champion, but in her last five fights. These are her last five fights. Decision by majority decision over Grasso. Didn't even get unanimous. Then, back-to-back split decision victories over Marina Rodriguez and Michelle Waterson Gomez.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then she knocks out Jan. I don't know how you say her last name. But it's very
ground
impressive.
Ground and pound. Jan.
And then for the title, another split decision. I wonder how many fighters have actually, like, on a title run, gotten three split decisions all to go their way.
That's actually so true.
I might have to do some research on that. But yeah.
That means she does just enough, man. And maybe she can do just enough in this match.
I just don't think she's fought anybody. Although I know Thug Rose beat Weili. I mean, it was just a heck of a head kick that she landed. I think Weili's the better fighter for sure.
Hey, I'm just trying to find a way to make this fight seem.
Oh,
like
I mean,
it's
we're
gonna.
I mean, I'm gonna look really dumb if Esparza wins this fight.
We're gonna look ridiculous.
I am very
stupid.
Very confident that Zhang Weili is gonna get her hand raised and she'll be the champion. I think she's gonna be the champion for quite some time.
Yeah,
if she gets this victory,
because I don't see anyone at that division anymore. I mean. I don't really see Rose coming back and being too much of an issue.
If Andrade came back down to strawweight, maybe she...
You saw what she did to her in the first fight versus Weili Zhang versus Andrade. Killed her with those knees.
Yeah, she did, but I mean, that's a maybe. But other than that, I think Weili holds on to this title for a while.
Weili Zhang has certainly grown on me, I will say, too. I used to not be the biggest fan of her, but I don't know.
I'm not going to lie. The first fight versus Rose, I was cheering for Rose, and then I don't know, after the second fight I thought Weili won and then she got robbed, so now I guess I feel bad for her. Just realized how good she is.
This is her chance to, you know, become a two-time champ. It's not something we often see in the women's division.
So what are you going? We both ride first round KO?
Yeah, I'll ride first round. Let's KO go. With you. Weili by death in the first round. But Carla Esparza, you had a good run. Not really, but it is what it is.
Sorry.
Yeah, with that being wrapped up, Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira will probably not have that much time in between the Dustin Poirier and the Carlos Esparza fight to get ready because, as we said, that fight's going to be over quickly. Yeah. But that is our main event of the evening, Israel Adesanya versus Alec Potan Pereira.
What a fight.
What a fight. And PJ, would you want to give us the long history, the long backstory between these two men? Why is this such a big fight?
I mean, yeah, for those of you who don't know, Alex Pereira and Israel Adesanya have met before in kickboxing. I don't know how long ago that was. You know how long ago that was?
I mean, I want to say like 2016, 2017.
Yeah, maybe. It was, you know, before they were both in the UFC. The first time they faced April 2nd, 2016. Mm-hmm. Was their first fight.
Second fight was probably later in that year, I would imagine.
A little
imagine.
Later in the year. And, Pereira got the best of him both times. And the second time they fought, right? Mm-hmm. Second time they fought, Pereira floored Adesanya. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not 100% sure on...
That's the last loss on Adesanya's career.
No, he lost to Blachowicz in... What are you talking about first?
Oh, yeah.
Kickboxing? Yeah. Kickboxing, yes. But, yeah, he lost to Blachowicz in... UFC once, but I want to say that's like the only time he's ever been knocked out in his mixed martial arts career. I could be wrong, but I think so.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So yeah, now they're both in the UFC, and many people believe that Pereira simply came to the UFC just to beat Adesanya a third time, and then many people, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying he might just win the belt and retire. Bro. Just to let Adesanya know he owns him, which would be very, very funny.
That would be the greatest storyline of all time.
That'd be really funny. I'm not sure Adesanya can come back from that, if I'm being honest.
Heck no.
As great as the last style bender is, I don't want to put any disrespect on Israel Adesanya's name because he's easily one of the best middleweights of all time, one of the best UFC fighters of all time.
Yeah, certainly. But that would be hilarious.
I would also have to give a good laugh at that one.
Oh my god, I really hope that's what happens. I don't think I think Alex Pereira's here to stay, maybe. But also, you know, why make it this
far? I don't know. He's 35.
That's
we'll
what
see.
I'm saying. Like, I feel like that would be the best way to go out. Like, beat the biggest name in the division.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But you see, the thing is, he's only, like, I mean, people obviously know who he is now. But if he wins versus Adesanya, like, the amount of money he can make, you know, from if he would continue to fight would be, would probably keep him in. I don't think he's going to, if he wins, this is all if he wins. I don't think he's going to retire right after he wins the belt.
Now, here's a question. If Alex Pereira were to beat him by knockout, similar to how he beat him in kickboxing, floors him, you think they give Israel Adesanya an immediate title rematch?
I mean, it's obviously it's Izzy. Wow, that's tough because I feel like if Rob Whittaker beats Paulo Costa next, and then it's not Adesanya for the title, I feel like, you know.
Well, if I'm Rob Whittaker, I'm rooting for Alex Pereira all day.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. I feel like Whittaker would deserve his title shot if he beats Costa, considering he would have beaten Vettori and Costa back-to-back. I mean, you can't really beat.
Yeah.
There's no one left to beat. Do I think the? I think they would. I feel like they would.
Just because.
Imagine if he loses them four times, though. Like, yeah. I wonder if Dana would take into account that that Pereira's already 2-0
that's what I'm
versus
saying.
Him in kickboxing.
Yeah, that because I remember Chael
Sonnen. This is literally going to be a kickboxing. I mean, there's going to be no – don't see any
that's
way.
That's another question I was going to ask.
If Adesanya shoots, Pereira wins the fight no matter what happens. That's all I'm saying. If
that
I see
true.
Adesanya go for a takedown
– that's the entire community
that's how
saying.
You know he's in his head.
Yeah.
That's how you know he's in his head.
Do you think he will or do you think he has too much pride? Or do you think he knows?
I don't think he will. I mean, it's still Adesanya. I mean –
that would be crazy.
Adesanya is arguably the best kickboxer in the UFC right now. I don't know. I don't think he will. I mean, maybe unless, you know, if Pereira lands that left hook and it doesn't knock Izzy out, maybe, like, you know, to buy some time, Izzy, you know, grabs at his legs for a little bit to recover. But I don't see a scenario where, you know, both fighters are doing okay and Adesanya decides, I'm going to go for a double leg.
That would be the end of his career. They would crucify him
Twitter,
on social
yeah,
media.
Yeah, he better delete Twitter. he better delete all social media if he shoots for a takedown.
Yeah, this better be a fight on the feet. And, yeah, something I've really been contemplating because, on one hand, Israel Adesanya in those two kickboxing matches looked like the crisper, more technical fighter.
Yeah, he did.
But Alex Pereira obviously just
his
has
power,
insane power.
And it's his first 5-round fight now. He's got that's a long time.
Yeah, that's 25
it's
minutes.
It's a long 25 minutes in there.
But on that same hand, Israel Adesanya, lots of 5-round experience. If this fight gets into later rounds, I would say that's where Adesanya would start to be his favoritism.
Oh, I don't even want to make a prediction on this because I feel so indifferent about this. So a lot of people are just... I feel like a lot of people, just because they're, you know, I mean, one can argue Adesanya is more of he's a boring fighter. Some would say, you know, he doesn't necessarily put himself on the line with his belt. You know, like, with being the champ, some people say he's taking a step back in terms of aggression in the octagon. He's not like a Oliveira where he's going to put himself in danger.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to be smart about it, and he's not going to put himself in trouble. And I feel like that's a lot... I think that's a big reason why people are just saying Pereira's going to win and they want him to win is because they want a more exciting... I mean, if you look at Pereira's fights, obviously, one can argue he's more exciting than Adesanya at the moment. And I just feel like a lot of people are still sleeping on Izzy. I certainly think
people have started to... Like, the recency bias is...
Yeah.
They don't realize how good Izzy actually is. But to make those fights look as easy as he makes it, certainly takes a lot of skill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And maybe he doesn't come forward as much as he used to. Maybe he doesn't present that same finishing threat that he used to. But he knows how to get the job done, and he knows how to retain his belt. And that's the name of the game, honestly. But with an Alex Pereira who's probably going to come marching forward towards you with all the confidence in the world, because DC pointed out a couple months ago that if Alex Pereira can knock you out with the big 16-ounce gloves on, imagine how much confidence he might feel if he connects with that 4-ounce glove,
you know? It's just like, for me, it's just so hard to picture him getting, like, is he getting floored in the UFC? But that's how I felt about Kamaru Usman. And I've just, you know, I've proved as my time as a UFC fan, I've realized you cannot count out anybody at any time. Like, anything can happen.
Certainly.
And I'm not even saying it would be crazy to see Pereira knock him out. Like, yeah. I think that would...
That's his most plausible path to victory.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree. I just, like, it's just, for me, I'm trying to just picture a scenario where I see Adesanya on the floor.
Yeah, that's true, because I've never really even seen Izzy. I mean, besides that Gastelum fight.
I was going to say, Gastelum's the last time I think he's really actually ever been...
Hurt.
Anyone hurt. I mean, he lost to Blachowicz, but I don't think he's ever really hurt.
That was more of a ground and pound situation.
I don't know, what are we thinking on this prediction that I'm trying to hold off? Because I'm really trying to think of what I want to say here.
This fight's going two ways.
What are we thinking? We have very similar picks already.
Yeah.
We might as well talk this one out.
Okay. So here's my thing. And I didn't even think about this before we got into studio today. But Israel Adesanya, if he can do something similar to like what he did to Paulo Costa, kind of, because Paulo Costa gassed out a little bit earlier, and I don't think Alex Pereira will gas out as early, but I think he certainly will gas out eventually, because he is a bigger dude, and he has less five-round experience, much less.
Yeah.
And Israel, you know, he could fight all day and all night, seemingly, at the pace, if he can fight at the pace that he likes to fight at. But if Alex Pereira can take the fight to him, and... He's gonna have to be willing to take a few, to give a few, certainly. But this is so tough.
I don't know how Pereira's chin is. Like, I mean, we haven't really seen it.
Yeah.
Haven't really seen his chin tested. I mean, he's gonna get hit. Like we said, he's gonna get hit versus Adesanya. Yeah. That's going to happen. It's just whether he can take it or not. I don't.
This is tough.
It's brutal. Here's the thing. I feel very confident on our first four picks.
Mm-hmm. Relatively, yeah, pretty much.
I just don't know what I want to do for this fight, which is why I'm very excited to watch it, but I also would like to be correct.
I'm going to go Alex Pereira KO.
Wow. What round?
Third round. And I don't know. That's it's don't most, don't take me by my word
it's
on that.
The most
that.
Least confident I've ever heard you speak about anything in your life.
I don't know, dude. Like,
I'm not blaming you. I'm in the exact same boat.
I don't even know. Really? Like, what are you saying?
If I'm being honest, my deep, you know, I feel like often, especially on the last UFC main, like last card, obviously our predictions were awful, but I also let my my bias get in the way a little bit. Deep down, my heart is saying Adesanya by decision, by UD. Well, I mean, I want to see something else happen, but, like, I just, you know.
This is a tough one, ladies and gentlemen. Very tough one. Was not expecting to go this deep.
I don't want to say I'm rooting for Pereira because I do like Adesanya. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for him, I should say. I'm kind of ready to see a new champion at middleweight just so, you know, just another.
Switch things up.
Yeah, just like, you
give
know.
Other people some opportunities.
The way this year's been going, like, you know, I mean.
Champions have been dethroned.
I mean, yeah.
Left and right this year.
Yeah. This is brutal.
This is very brutal. But okay. Gun to your head. You got to place a bet right now. Oh,
man. You know what? I'm just going to stick with it. I'm just going to go Adesanya. I'm going to go Adesanya unanimous decision. However, I'm going. I will say I'll be rooting for a knockout by either guy. If it's Pereira, I won't be surprised.
Knockout either way, I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm just going to be mad if Pereira wins, and I can't just say I told you so because I really, I don't know.
Here's kind of, to give you some insight as to why I'm going Alex Pereira, though, is I've seen a lot of Israel Adesanya interviews over the last few days where he seems like he's extremely confident. He's going to go out there, and he's going to put on, I think he said something like this training camp is going to be his new standard. Like, it's the hardest he's ever trained. He's going to go in there. He's going to try to finish the guy, you know, trying to make a statement.
Yeah.
And he's sticking to his word.
Yeah.
He's going to get caught. Alex Pereira is going to catch him.
And I won't be surprised whatsoever if that happens. I just think this might be the first time in Izzy's, you know, title reign career, at least in terms of his title reign, where I feel like he's actually got, like, something, like, somewhat to prove, like, to prove something. Like, these last couple fights, I don't think he's really proved. I mean, everybody already knows how good he is.
Yeah.
But now he's fighting a guy who's beat him not once, but twice.
And knocked him out the last time.
I feel like Izzy's, I just feel like he's dialed in.
Mm-hmm. And Alex Pereira's been taking a lot of shots at him on social media, too.
Yeah, he's clowning him. It's funny.
He is actually pretty funny.
I like Pereira so much. That's why I wish I just didn't like one of these guys. So that way, because I would easily just pick the other dude, which would probably lead me to the wrong selection. But, like, still, that's why I feel so indifferent. I'm going to go Israel Adesanya on unanimous decision. I think it might be a 48-47, 40. Yeah, I think it might be really close. Could be split decision, but I'm just going to go with the UD. Although I do like yours. I like your selection. I would say if I were to pick Pereira, I would say second or third round knockout.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with. And as PJ was saying, probably with the least confidence I've ever made a pick with. But if it's I said Israel Adesanya, fifth round TKO, five round unanimous decision, I would say it with equally not as much confidence. This is a tough one to pick up or to pick on.
So that's the one fight we're going to be different on. So.
Mm-hmm. But okay, though. With all of our predictions wrapped up, you want to give us a quick recap of what you're going to be going with this weekend on the main card?
Main event, I'm going to be going Claudio Pulez, second round sub. I'm going to go Gutierrez, unanimous decision. I have a, you know, just a gut feeling that Frankie's going to hold up for his hometown at MSG. What did I say for Poirier? I can't even remember what I said. Third round, right? Okay, yeah. You said second, right? Okay, yeah. I got Dustin Poirier by third round knockout. Zhang Weili, maybe in a minute, first round knockout. And then I have Adesanya by unanimous decision.
Okay, yeah, certainly some good picks there. And just to quickly go over mine, I will also be going Claudio Pueliz by second round submission as well. I will go Chris Gutierrez. I will say he's going to get the finish second or third round. I'll go second just because. And Dustin Poirier, I'm also going to go second round KO. I think he's going to chin Michael Chandler. Weili by death, first round. And then I guess in the main event, got to stick to my guns. Alex Pereira, third round knockout.
So you got five finishes.
I just realized I do have
that
five
would be
finishes.
A heck of a card. You know what? I hope you're right.
If anyone were to hold up, I would say it'd probably be that Dan Hooker versus Claudio fight.
Yeah.
I might switch my, the decisions aren't official until I post them on Instagram, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, okay? So these are all tentative.
I guess that's fair.
So I have time to think about them a little bit longer. Yeah. But to sound cool on the podcast, yes, I will go five finishes in the first, in the main card.
Hey, if you're right, we're in for a heck of a Saturday night.
Oh, to say the least. The Bloomington's gonna have to look out if I get all five of my picks right.
We're due considering our last performance. We're very due.
Yeah,
and I feel a lot better about this one. So.
Yeah, certainly feel man, but knock on wood because we had a bad timeout our last few.
Only pick I got right was my least confident selection and. Mr. Sugar Sean.
Yeah, well, I got one right as well. Yeah. And that was also my least confident, Daniil Dariush.
Yeah.
But yeah, that wraps it up for our UFC 281 predictions. Big fights going down this weekend at MSG, the Mecca. And we are certainly excited, especially for that main event, Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira, and the people's main event, Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. But with all that being said, PJ, do you have any final thoughts on the card? Any final thoughts on the podcast? Any final thoughts on combat sports? Anything you really just want to get off your chest?
I feel like we just poured our chests out about these predictions for the last little bit. So, no, not really.
Wow.
You got any final remarks on the wonderful sports that we talk about?
I'm not going to lie. It felt good to go off on that little boxing rant earlier today. That made my heart feel better. I've been going off on a lot of boxing rants lately because, man, that sports. We need to make boxing great again, and I'm going to keep that hashtag going until it happens, until I see the best of the best fighting each other. But this weekend, we will be seeing the best of the best fight each other in the UFC, as so often happens. And it's a card I'm very much looking forward to. The whole MMA world is looking forward to.
We will see
if Alex Pereira will shake up the world. With that all being said, that wraps it up today for the Split Decision Podcast. I'm your host, Roman Garcia. thanking you all for your feedback, the good and the bad. Thanking Andrew Briggs and IUS TV for all the wonderful work they do. And thanking my good co-host and good friend PJ for always being here on time, ready to go.
Yeah, you kind of covered it. Thank you to everyone that tunes in weekly. Thank you to Andrew. Thank you to IUS TV. And yeah, thank you to you as well, Roman, you know.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's all I got. Thank you all very much. And we will see you at the top.
See you at the top.